Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Have no place to go.
6:11, and this is show number 1,141. Which means you're only 859 shows away from 2,000. We should probably start planning now. What? Huh? Let's go live to Super Joe now. How was your birthday there, Super Joe?
Oh, birthday was great. Yeah. My nephew came by. We had some pizza, some cake.
So, and is that traditional for 31? 31 is pizza cake?
Well, I think I've had that for every birthday ever.
Okay,
so
all right.
Seems maybe right. It's just a Super Joe thing.
We just want to know if he went to pick up his winnings.
Oh, yeah. How much did you win?
I won a few shekels, yeah.
Don't give the amount, Joe. Don't give the amount.
Oh, why don't you want to reveal the amount?
Because you just...
I already asked him. He wouldn't tell me.
He's going to have all these people coming up to him asking for loans.
Like people that I see.
You know, it's like the lottery winners.
Right.
It's his privacy.
So you should probably soft sell it, Joe. You should probably say you won $8.
Yeah, right.
Just say you won $8.
Or we could take a picture of him with a big fake check and put it on the front page of the website.
But the check part would be blank, the amount?
Yeah.
Yeah, I won about $8.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was the Kentucky Derby bet on Saturday.
Trifecta.
Well, that doesn't help. And now you said trifecta. Now they're going to know it's more than $8.
Yeah. Boxed.
Considering Joe is here today, it probably wasn't all that much.
What, you think he'd quit?
I don't know.
Joe, if you were independently wealthy, would you quit the show?
No way, man.
That's what I want to hear.
Uh-huh.
I have White Sox tickets. White Sox Rangers on Friday night, May 18th, 7:10. Listen for a wacky White Sox sound. Do we reveal the sound so people know what to listen for? All right, don't call now. But this is what it's going to sound like. Hey, it's your favorite Journey song. So be the 7th, 8th, 9th, 20th, 720th, whatever I decide at the time. Whatever caller. No, let's make it the 7th. Let's touch side now. Next time you hear that, be the 7th caller. Not now. Next time you hear it, be the 7th caller, and you'll win White Sox tickets. Let's do the top 6 at 6. Right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, they come in all flavors. Those that abuse women. Aren't just Democrats, they're not just Republicans, they're independents, Democrats, and Republicans. Eric Schneiderman, the highly regarded, politically highly regarded, New York State Attorney General, resigned last night, hours after a report in which four women accused him of physical assault. This is another one of these Ronan Farrow stories. This is in The New Yorker, a long-form story, and Ronan Farrow just won a Pulitzer for his reporting on Harvey Weinstein, then covers the story of Eric Schneiderman. Schneiderman contested the allegations initially and then said there's no way he could continue in the job, even though he doesn't agree with the charges as they were laid out. He even had to drop this little tidbit into one of his tweets. He said, "I engaged in consensual role playing."
Yeah.
I think when you get to the point where you have to say on Twitter that you engaged in consensual role playing, your days as a politician probably are over. All of the women had been romantically involved with Schneiderman at various times, who, by the way, is not married. He's divorced. And they all said that they were the victims of violence, hitting, punching, choking, and also verbal abuse. One woman claiming that he screamed at her that she was his slave, and if she ever left him, he would kill her. Mm-hmm. And these women didn't know each other. And they all seem to have similar accounts as to when and how he was violent. Most of it related to drinking. But, you know, obviously that's not an excuse. The reason I say they come in all flavors is because as recently as, I guess it was last night, on that Laura Ingraham extravaganza on Fox, one of the people said, "Well, that's what liberals do."
Mm-hmm.
No. That's what cowards do. Cowards like the governor of Missouri, Eric Greitens, the Republican, who is accused of taking his mistress, tying her up in a basement, taking pictures of her, and then threatening to release them.
Mm-hmm. Schneiderman was also, this is the irony, I guess, too, he brought legal action in New York against Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, it's just
a bizarre story.
You couldn't be a bigger hypocrite. You could not be a bigger hypocrite than this guy. He was all over the Harvey Weinstein story. Put himself, you know, and maybe that was his cover.
Mm-hmm.
Played himself off as this great champion of women. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You don't hit girls. You're a coward. Mm-hmm. Any man that does this, any man that engages in this kind of behavior, you're a coward. You wouldn't stand up to me. You wouldn't stand up to any man. But you hit women.
Right. And don't fall back on the part of the first part of the statement was in the privacy of intimate relationships.
No.
Things happen. No.
And there is a level of hypocrisy, too. But you have to understand that some legal decisions made by his office were not necessarily made by him alone. There were probably legal reasons for some of those decisions.
What do you mean?
That had nothing to do with what he was doing in his private life. So, in other words, the decision to go after Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. But that's politics. It's a political hypocrisy. Doesn't mean he was wrong to go after Harvey Weinstein.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Next. If European diplomats are correct, President Trump will announce today about 2 o'clock that he's withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal. After allies failed to convince him that doing so would result in a new confrontation with Tehran. The United States withdrawing is a big problem for the deal, but it doesn't mean the deal ends. As Senator Durbin said at least a couple of years ago when he was here, when this first threat to pull out came about during the campaign, that if we were to pull out, it doesn't end the deal. It's a multi-nation deal.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something Trump promised throughout the campaign, continuing to say it's a terrible deal. We never should have negotiated it. But much like everything else the president says, he doesn't back it up with facts. There's no upside to the grand plan here, because if you want to deal with North Korea, why would North Korea believe you would stick to anything if you break this deal, which was already constructed and agreed to? We're not dealing with terrific people here. The people who have led Iran since the revolution in 1979, almost without fail, have been terrible people who harbor terrorists and hold down their own nation. Tehran in particular, but Iran is a nation with an emerging young population that has nothing but upside if they were allowed to thrive. And it doesn't mean they have to be a democracy. Democracy doesn't work everywhere. But the Iranian leadership is not to be trusted. But they did strike this deal, and we should be sticking to this deal, according to everybody who knows the ins and outs of the deal. And certainly from an observer's standpoint, it's hard not to agree with it. I don't know the upside of leaving. I don't understand. Like, why would Iran go? Why would anybody involved with this deal go, oh, the United States backing out? Okay, let's renegotiate.
Right. Especially when you're talking about the other countries involved or who are going to be watching what happens today, Beijing, Moscow, and the EU capitals.
Well, the other concern is this some sort of elaborate setup? And I back Israel in every way possible, but is this some sort of elaborate setup to give Israel a green light to go after Iran, to attack Iran, and to go after their nuclear sites that have not been dismantled and are allegedly used for energy.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, too, Steve. If we do pull out, meaning we the United States, there has to be a plan B. There has to be some sort of...
Well, when you see it announced, you let me know, because I haven't seen it.
Right.
Next! Debate over the decades-old, 40-years-old, Equal Rights Amendment will continue here in Illinois this month. Abortion, military service, racial inequality were the issues on display at a 4-hour Illinois House Committee hearing in Chicago yesterday. 35 years after the 1982 deadline for state. Was it 82?
In 1982.
Why do I think it was the mid-70s?
Brutal.
82, it was the deadline for states to pass the constitutional amendment. Like, it probably did start in the mid-70s. Mm-hmm. It takes years to do this. Mm-hmm. Constitutional amendment designed to protect citizens against sex-based discrimination.
So Lane needs 71 votes to get this amendment approved. So he needs bipartisan approval.
I don't get it. I mean, there are laws on the book that, mm-hmm. that protect against discrimination based on sex, based on gender. I don't understand why we need this.
That's what the opponents are saying, that they say that federal protections already exist for women. Anti-abortion activists were the most vocal in this hearing on Monday. It was 4 hours, as you said.
Next! Governor Rauner has received the green light from Washington on a plan to integrate medical care and mental health for Illinois' poor, which is considered a major breakthrough for mental health care in Illinois. That's a good thing, but Governor Rauner was also part of the original budget cuts for mental health coverage. So restore it and leave it alone. And there's this. Fat Rice's Abe Conlon won Chicago's only James Beard Award this year. He was in studio last year, brought food in. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Fat Rice is wonderful. One of the best pan-Asian type food. It's fantastic.
And far away, the best news story of the day is our last item on the top 66. And that's that Danny Farquhar was released from the hospital. Oh. And doctors say he's not going to pitch this year, but he may be able to resume his career next year. That's just that? Unbelievable.
Awesome. I mean, 2 weeks ago, nobody would have expected that. And the initial word was that he was going to be in the hospital for 3 weeks. He beat that timetable.
This is not hyperbole. He's dead in the dugout, if not for the medical care that was available that moment at that time. They treated him, triage, right? And then they get him to the hospital. He got amazing medical care there. Obviously, the fact that he's a professional athlete in great shape helps. But this is nothing short of a miracle, this kind of a turnaround.
Really is. Really is. And I'll bet you he is pitching next year.
Well, that'd be what a great ending to that story, or a continuation, I would suppose,
that's
at 31.
Stuff there ought to be a movie about.
Yeah, no kidding. Top six is in the books.
That's all today for the top six and six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Coming up on the program, John DeCosta's here today.
Yeah.
We'll have John on later.
Woo! Why am I clapping?
Yeah.
You're clapping for yourself because you're an egomaniac.
That's right.
And we're going to salute Mary Vandeveld, who's going into the Walk of Fame later. And Mary, here's what I'd like to do at 7:15.
Oh, boy.
Could you come downstairs? I would like to do your traffic report so you don't have to.
Really?
Just a little tribute.
Oh, no.
This will be good.
This is fear. I'm fearing this.
Do I have to prepare it for you?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
No.
Yeah,
what the heck?
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't count.
Prepare it, print it, and hand it to me, and we're good to go.
No.
And write in those buzzwords.
Traffic changes every 30 seconds. I can't do that.
You don't want me making it up.
not in the morning, though.
Yeah.
We got a great kid of the week coming up as well. Oh, and that shiftless Justin Kaufman's going to come in.
Oh.
This is another one of these nights where he's not working, and we say, listen, get up, get in here.
Right, do something,
man. So you said shiftless, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because he doesn't have a shift tonight.
Yeah, well, that and the fact that he's shiftless.
And he's shifty.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Shift, by the way, shifty. Don't say that on the air too often. It's hard to say.
Yeah, exactly.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Nicole, our chocolates people are coming in later. They're going to give us a chocolate tasting.
I would caution them to maybe keep the brandy chocolates away from someone who might overeat directly.
I don't even drink.
Ave Denitske?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
So the Kohler chocolates people are coming in later with chocolate.
I just got what you did, the piglet, so it's Joe Romano.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
chocolate.
I'm coming back downstairs for the chocolate.
Yeah, as you should.
Yeah.
So it's 6:28, Monday afternoons with Abigail.
Oh, yes, we got the update.
So we go to the park yesterday, and there's a double slide at the park because somewhere along the lines of playground design, through the years, playground engineers have gotten together. There's annual playground conferences where playground engineers get together, and they decide what'll be fun. They get on stuff and they play, and then they design it. So the double slide is a thing now. Because think about when you were a kid, when you're on a playground, you had to wait because somebody else was hogging the slide, or there was a long line to get on the slide. So at least on every playground, at least in some area, you get the double slide.
Yeah, those are cool.
So Abigail's two, and she sat on one side of the slide, contemplating whether or not she was going to go down the slide. And she's kind of looking around. She's applauding other kids, by the way. Other kids are sliding, going, good job. Good job.
Nice. She's a team player.
Yeah. And, you know, that I'm proud of her for that because most kids don't do that. Most kids that get to the playground, they go bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S, and just start doing their own thing. Mm-hmm.
And my turn.
Right. So this 10-ish-year-old girl, she, and David appreciate this because he likes the show, she does an American Ninja Warriors thing. She runs up the slide the other way, in the open slide, where on the other side where Abigail is, to grab it and pull herself up. And she slides back down. She doesn't quite make it. So getting very dramatic.
That's like the warped wall.
The warped wall.
Yeah.
And she goes back a little farther. And she runs and she grabs. Oh, and she slides back down. She came so close to making it. She does it a third time. And I'm talking to Abigail. I'm going, Abigail, slide down. And she gets frustrated with me. And she looks at me and she goes, Pops, she's trying again. We're missing the show, Mr. One Lane Focus. We're cheering this kid on, Pops. What's the matter with you? You're supposed to be the grown-up.
That's awesome.
In American Ninja Warrior, you get three tries.
There you go.
Abigail obviously knew that.
There you go.
Did your girl make it?
Yeah, she did make it on the last one. And Abigail went, nice job.
And handed her a trophy.
She's a total team player.
She also waved me off.
Oh, yeah. You got the brush off?
I don't think she was. I don't think she got to a point where she's embarrassed by me. That'll come later.
Yeah.
But next week.
Yeah.
But we're walking across the playground, and she waved me off. You know, that little face looking up at me. No, you stay here.
Yeah.
You stay here.
It was almost like a mini.
I don't want the other kids to see me with you.
Right? Like a mini talk to the hand, kind of.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go down the double slide with her?
No.
Come on.
No, it's a kid's thing.
Well, you can go down with
her. No, the adults are spotters.
Yeah.
It's true. That is true.
So, John, it's a totally separate story here, but John got himself a new car.
I did.
Way to go, John.
I wanted you to say hi to the folks that sold you the car, because you've been a customer of theirs forever, and they're big listeners to the show.
Yeah, Auto Showcase in Carroll Stream. I've been going there for 25 years. They just take care of me, John Picaro and the whole family, and I got a nice, beautiful Ford Flex.
Ooh.
You know, Ford Kodiak Flex. Bronze. It's huge. It's gorgeous. It rides like a dream.
And what did you trade in?
My Ellie. I traded in Ellie, my little Element.
Yeah. Ellie.
He named it Ellie.
I named her, and I will not name a car again, because as I drove away from Ellie, I knew she was looking at me, and Jack even made fun of me. But
she's giving you the stink eye?
Yeah, no, I think she was just crying a little bit. I could see, you know.
What is it with you and cars shaped like boxes?
That's a good question. Well, I went from the Element, which is a toaster, to the Flex, which is a four-slice toaster.
So, exactly right.
There is something about it. But Auto Showcase is phenomenal in Carroll Stream.
Good people.
Yes, they're phenomenal people.
And better those cars than like an ambulance or another box car.
No, this one can be an ambulance.
The Chevy rectangular parallelogram that's coming out.
Parallelogram.
Could be your next one. We missed that. Come back with the headlines next at 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
6:43, Kid of the Week time. And then I'm not going to do it here for obvious reasons, but I have a text question today tied to the story of Pat Boyle, our friend from Comcast Sportsnet, the husband of producer Sandberg, who was having breakfast with young Patrick, Patrick Boyle.
Talking about the birds and the bees.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? They used to call it the birds and the bees.
Yeah, because I don't think birds and bees, you know, should be connected that way.
No.
So I don't know where that came from. This week's Kid of the Week, the legend, Gabriella Frank. Let's go to the phone right now and say hi to Gabriella. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
I understand we interrupted track practice.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me about track practice. What are you doing at this hour? Is it just running or what are you doing?
Yeah. So we just did our warm-up laps, and right now my team is stretching, and then we're going to do a couple more laps, and then we'll just go to our own individual events. So.
And you're running right now while you're talking to me, right? Just running laps?
No.
Oh, okay.
I went back in the car.
I'm impressed by this and this commitment. Do you also practice after school?
On Wednesdays we go after school, and trampoline practice after school.
Yeah, because I mean I played sports all the way through high school. We never practiced before school.
Yeah, we have tried before school most days. Like every other Wednesday is after school, but then like outside of school, sports are always after school. So
now, how old are you?
14.
Freshman.
Eighth grade.
Okay. All right. So, Gabriella, here's what I've heard about you. In response to the horrific Hurricane Harvey in Texas, you started a collection team for Hurricane Harvey victims and put together tons and tons and tons of toiletry bags to distribute to these victims. Because you can imagine all these people that were made homeless. You want a toothbrush. You want toothpaste. You want things to get, you know, clean yourself up. You want stuff to make hygiene stuff, right?
Yeah.
You coordinated the pickup and delivery of hundreds of bottles of water, non-perishable food items, and pet supplies, and kind of turned this into your own mission. I'm very impressed.
Thank you.
hey, Gabriella, we have a hard time organizing a show meeting here. So this is such an awesome idea. How did you organize all of the items for distribution and get everyone to help you stuff the bags? Kind of walk us through the process of how you organize. This is a massive
Do you have a factory, Gabriella? Is that it?
So we had been making bags like for homeless shelters locally before. And so when the hurricane came around, I was like, maybe we should make it for the hurricane victims because now most of them are homeless. So we then like sent out a Facebook message, and then all these people like responded, and we were collecting things in our garage and like in our closet. It was like everywhere. And then we brought it to, there were like trucks that were taking stuff down to Texas, and so we would bring some of the stuff there, and then there was just a bunch of people we found who were like driving there, so we found a lot of different ways to get it there.
So everybody that was willing to help, you were able to put them into your network?
Yeah.
Well, that's very impressive. Very impressive. Now, this is the type of thing, Gabriella, for someone your age, this would either inspire you to do it again and be ready to do the next one, or it would, you would find out it's so much work you would never want to do it again. Where do you fall on this?
I would definitely do it again since I've been doing it for like a while before. So,
hey, Gabrielle, are other kids coming to you now kind of for inspiration? So I know you were mentored, I'm sure, by some wonderful people. You're kind of becoming the mentor now.
Well, like a few of them will help me sometimes when they see that it's like a really, really big project and that like we're in need of like getting things together. So like a couple of my close friends, they help me. So.
Other than that, a lot of your friends are deadbeats. Now, you said, or you seem to indicate that you've been doing this for a while. How old were you when you first did something charitable like this?
I was in second grade.
Second grade? What'd you do in second grade?
Second grade was the first time when we went to Jamaica and started getting stuff together, like school supplies for them.
You keep this up, you're going to be president someday, and unlike the one we currently have, I'd vote for you happily. So, what do you want to do when you grow up?
Well, when I grow up, I really want to be a marine biologist because then I could stay like in the Caribbean and keep like helping them out, but then also still be helping the animals out.
And the weather's pretty sweet.
Yeah, no kidding.
Most of the time.
Hey, what's your favorite track event? I know you're a big. I know you're probably.
Yeah. What do you specialize in?
Yeah. What's your favorite?
My favorite is 200 sprints.
Yeah, me too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I do the first 100, but then I get an Uber.
You and Gabriella could race.
Yeah, I get an Uber for the second 100, yeah. Yeah. Gabriella, it's great to meet you. You're an impressive young lady, and this fact you've been doing this since second grade is amazing. But we have a couple of things for you for being this week's Kid of the Week, including Lou Malnati's Pizza, 40 Chicagoland locations, loumalnati's.com, an app gift card, get anything you want there. Pleasing people since 1936, the store in Glenview, or online at abt.com. And thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day. Get back to practice. It's Gabriella.
She's great.
And hi to her coach. Thanks for letting her, probably her mom or dad, for letting her get on the phone.
I mean, what a massive undertaking. You have to. It's a cool idea, but then you have to get all the supplies, have everybody help
you. That's what I mean. You know, some kids would go, it's too hard.
Yeah.
But she's been doing it since second grade.
And when does she do it? I mean, she practices in the morning, she practices at night, all over the place, plus school.
You remember Energy?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
You guys remember Energy? Remember when you felt like doing stuff?
Oh, I got to go stretch.
Oh, I thought you meant the little drinks. Those little energy.
No, I mean literally feeling like doing stuff.
I watch Energy from my couch most afternoons.
Look at all those energetic people living a life out there.
See, that's adventurous, Steve, because I watch it online.
Yeah. What are they doing? Are they walking? What is that?
We think about doing things.
Yeah,
we
want to
do things. We just can't.
Yeah, it's a concept.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Super Joe playing a blues guitar. All the music on the show is live, I guess you know that.
I also play the triangle.
I'm amazed you can talk while you're playing this, because I think you'd be so deep in the blues, all you'd have is your eyes closed.
This actually does sound live.
That's not right, doesn't it?
It really does.
Really does. 6:56 now. Big primary day. This is the first multi-state primary day. You may have noticed I haven't been harping on you guys to register to vote and get out and vote because our next big day is not until November.
Right.
But the Make America Vote Again campaign will be back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. So,
with more hats.
Yes.
More free Make America Vote Again hats. One of the big races today is in West Virginia, where four people are trying to get the Republican nomination to try to unseat the moderate Democrat Joe Manchin. One of which is a former coal mine executive who did a year in prison for being the boss. I guess he owned the coal mine. The guy that owned the coal mine that collapsed and, what was it, 30 men were killed?
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines. This is the guy who did a commercial. Joe, I think I sent this to you the other day. Let's see if we can find it at some point this morning. But he did a commercial where he goes after Mitch McConnell. And by the way, I'm for that. But not in this way. Mitch McConnell is married to a woman named Elaine Chao, the mm-hmm. transportation secretary. And Mitch McConnell may or may not have had his wife and her father mm-hmm. be in negotiations for some sort of deal with China.
Yes.
That would benefit the dad.
Right.
And the dad's
his
business.
His father-in-law, basically, yeah.
Yes. McConnell says it's ridiculous. In the commercial, this charming guy calls...
Don Blankenship.
Don Blankenship. Yeah. Thank you. I'm spacing on his name. He refers to them as China people.
Oh, my God.
The China people.
Come on.
Yeah, the China people. Yep. Got to watch the China people. It's an actual commercial running in West Virginia. And the Republican Party itself is coming out against this guy who says he's Trumpier than Trump ever was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's going on today politically. This is the commercial I was referring to. This is actually running in West Virginia. Listen.
Hi, I'm Don Blankenship, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
Swamp Captain Mitch McConnell has created millions of jobs for China people. While doing so, Mitch has gotten rich. In fact, his China family has given him tens of millions of dollars. Mitch's swamp people are now running false negative ads against me. They are also childishly calling me despicable and mentally ill. The war to drain the swamp and create jobs for West Virginia people has begun. I will beat Joe Manchin and ditch Cocaine Mitch for the sake of the kids.
Wow. I don't know the Cocaine Mitch thing. I mean, I've heard it referenced for several days. Is he saying that Mitch McConnell takes cocaine? Is dealing cocaine?
It has some sort of association or affiliation with cocaine.
We got another one? This guy's so good. Doesn't this sound like an SNL sketch?
Yeah. Yes.
This is the actual guy. Listen.
Hi, I'm Don Blankenship, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message. The politicians are running a lot of crazy ads. They blew up the coal mine and then put me in prison. Now they're running ads that say the coal mine blew up, and I went to prison. There's no surprise there. But if you want jobs, if you want to end the drug epidemic, and you want to protect the unborn, you need to vote for me. One of my goals as U.S. Senator will be to ditch Cocaine Mitch. When you vote for me, you're voting for the sake of the kids.
I wouldn't let my kids within 50 miles of you.
And we'll leave the light on for you.
Right? I was going to say, it's not the guy who wrote the theme wants his music back.
And did you understand that explanation in the beginning?
No. It's just like
they blew up the coal mine, and then I ended up in prison.
No surprise there.
No surprise there. I ended up with
it happened.
Coal mine.
I did it.
And the China people probably did it.
Yeah.
The China people and Cocaine Mitch came over.
There's a third one where he talks about the Corningware people.
They had the Acme plunger. And Wile E. Coyote was there, too.
It does sound like a sketch.
It's horrible.
Coming up on 7 o'clock, we'll take a break. Tell you what the text question is coming up in just a few minutes on 720 WGN.
She is Mary Vanderbilt. She will update traffic and sometimes weather. She is Mary Vanderbilt. And then sometimes she will do them both together.
712, I'm gonna call an audible on the plan I had for the text question. Today's Teacher Appreciation Day. Here's a text question. Tell me about a teacher that meant a lot to you. Oh, a teacher you want to throw a shout out to.
Sure.
Right?
Very good.
A guidance counselor, could be a teacher. Mm-hmm. But it's Teacher Appreciation Day. So somebody that meant a lot to you in your life. Mrs. Broadwell, my English teacher.
Very nice.
Who I believe would be about 194 if she was still alive. She was great to me.
Yeah.
And encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a guidance counselor during a difficult period of my youth
mm-hmm.
named Mr. Head, Malcolm Head.
I remember you talking about him.
Yeah, good dude. So Teacher Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
That's the hook. By the way, just about every teacher spends their own money on school supplies.
Yeah, they do.
Because they're missing something in their classroom. Mm-hmm. There's an organization called Kids in Need Foundation, KINF.org. It's 4-star rated on Charity Navigator, which is the Charity Navigator rating site. It's like the Better Business Bureau for charities. And if you want, you can donate to them, and they can help supply school supplies for kids. Or I think just about every school would take this. I'm not positive. But call your kid's school and say, I would like to know, is there a fund, a general fund, or is there a way I can donate to help you guys with school supplies?
Yeah, absolutely.
And even though it's getting to be the end of the year, it's obviously not the beginning of the year. There's always a need for stuff.
Yeah, especially over the summer months. You gotta start. They start prepping early, getting their classrooms ready July and August.
Teacher Appreciation Day. Mm-hmm. Mary Vandeveld's here. Congratulations once again to you on your soon-to-be enshrinement on the Walk of Fame.
Thank you so much. Very exciting.
Which of your family members was most excited when you told them? I mean, is there a sister that you're really tight with, or your kids, or your husband?
I think my mom.
Well, that's great.
Actually.
That's tremendous.
Yeah, she was very excited. She wants to come next week. We'll see how her health is.
We'll see how her schedule is.
Yeah, her schedule. She might have to go to the casino that day.
I was going
to
say, what if there's bingo or the casino?
Yeah, there could be bingo, casino. You know, she's got a lot going on.
Well, it's got pretty nice. Did she brag about you at her facility where she lives?
Well, yeah. And this was when I first found out. And I went home and I told, of course, my husband. And I told some of my kids. And then I told my mom. And it was a major mistake because I go to bingo. I call bingos on Saturday. As soon as I get to bingo.
She's not kidding. She really
does. I do. All this whispering's going on, and I hear this, congratulations. I'm like, what did I do? And I look at my mom, and she's like sheepishly, you know, looking at her bingo card, and she goes, I'm sorry, I just couldn't hold it in.
That's
and I,
nice.
You know, and I said, well, hopefully, you know, a few of them will forget about it by
I'm sure if they got bingo they would have, but other than
but it was very cute. It was very cute.
Well, that's a very nice thing. All right, now take me back. First person you worked with here in the morning.
First person. Yeah. Well,
who is in this chair then?
Bob Collins.
Were you intimidated? Because Bob could be an intimidating guy.
Oh my gosh. Well, I had to audition for the job back then. So
how did
I
that
came
work?
In.
Who
I auditioned
audition
in the afternoon. I don't even remember. I don't know. Maybe Dave was here.
I was here, but I don't remember.
You don't remember. Yeah. No. I don't even remember. But, you know, we were in the showcase studio with that big, huge map.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this traffic map that was so obnoxious. It was on the wall, and it lit up when there were delays in red. So it was red, green, and yellow bulbs. These huge bulbs.
Like actual light bulbs.
Yes, bulbs.
Wow.
And the bulbs would blink, bleep, 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 bleep. You know, like two or three would go off when the delay would get bigger and bigger.
Right, right.
But it was up so high on the wall, so you'd have to, like, extend your head up to look for the travel. You know, there weren't any travel times on there. You were just basically saying delays at the time.
You were estimating.
So you were estimating, and you had delays, and your head's all cranked up, and it was very odd.
And could Bob Collins see you with your crooked neck looking up at this
thing? Oh, yeah. I was in the studio.
You were in the studio with him. Did he ever mock it?
Oh, I think they loved it. I think everybody. It was such a.
That was state of the art technology.
It was a party thing because people would stop on Michigan Avenue and they'd watch, you know, and look at the traffic.
We should have gotten one of those fake maps in here.
I want to know where that thing is. You know, that
should be in the broadcast.
Oh, yeah. That should be in the museum.
Yeah.
It was a relic.
All right, now you're on the Walk of Fame with some pretty impressive folks, not just Bob Collins posthumously, but you know Dave Bennett.
Yeah, Dave
and Orion Samuelson.
And Orion and I worked with, of course, Spike mm-hmm. Odell, and I worked.
Whatever happened to him? Did he ever make anything?
No, Spike the LA Morning guy back then. And Orion, and of course Tom Peterson was a big influence on me back then because he. He was like my dad, you know.
Well, that's nice to hear you say, because I always thought Tom was a cranky old man, but you must have got him in his nice period.
Oh, he was. Andre, you know.
He was cranky. He was great, though.
To a degree, but he was always so casual about everything. He's like, don't worry about it, you know, whatever. And so, I feel fine. And one time I got in an accident one morning.
You got in an accident? Oh, I don't know this story.
Yes, I got in an accident.
So you appeared on the traffic report.
Well, it was kind of difficult to report on. Well, I wasn't here at the time because I was on the side of the road on the Eisenhower, and I got somebody hit me from behind, and I spun around, and I ended up in a ditch, and I was like, it was hysterical.
Sure.
And I called Tom, who's the first person I called. I didn't call my husband. I said, Tom, I think I'm going to be late. I'm in a ditch. And he's like, okay, now Mary, are you injured? Yeah. I go, I don't know. And he said, I said, I got to get to work. And he said, okay, just can you get the car out of the ditch? Yeah.
So yeah, let me get around and push it.
I did. I got it out. He goes, okay, just come to work. Okay.
And, you know, so he talked you down.
He talked me down and calmed me down because I was ready. I was spun around the opposite way. So I was like, how do I turn around? I'll be going on outbound and the inbound.
You know, so. Well, did you at some
like
point?
It was like Laura Petrie. I was yeah,
no, that was good.
But did you at some point realize you were hurt or you were okay?
I was fine, but I was a little late. I think that was only one of the only times I was late for work.
So when did you turn into this, Captain Cool? I don't see you falling apart here.
I don't know.
I mean, the woman you're describing sounds like...
I don't think I was that hysterical. I really don't. Mm. Yeah, but...
Tom told us a story. You said you were hysterical.
Yeah, Tom did. Oh, he probably doesn't remember.
He probably doesn't. All right, so you did afternoons. You've done the morning show here. Were you on other shows I'm not aware of?
I did afternoon. No, no.
Oh, look at Miss Drive Time over here.
And it was only afternoons for about a year and a half.
And then the morning show forever. Yeah. So you've been getting up at this god-awful hour for how many years?
Well, I was 21 here, and then I did WMAQ for 5 years, traffic, wow. And then I did the Score. I was their first traffic reporter.
Is that right?
Score. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the Score?
I never heard of it.
I used to, when I was working in Joliet 21 years ago, I used to listen to Mary on WMAQ, and I always would say, oh, God, I love her voice. I love driving it at 3:30 in the
traffic
morning.
Traffic on the ones.
Remember that?
Get it first, get it fast.
Actually, you know what? I do remember that.
Yeah.
You know, and I hated saying that. Get it first, get it fast. It was,
isolate that.
Oh, dear. Probably not your kid's proudest moment.
It was weird.
You talk about a moment. One of my moments was when Mary came to the house and picked me up and drove me in that morning.
Yeah.
And you said the famous traffic reporter is taking you to work.
Yes. We had a very pleasant time on the way in.
I had to Google map the thing. Yep. Oh, my God.
Well, listen, we are proud of you. And,
I thought we all get to tell Mary stories
now.
We're
thrilled about you. Have you got one?
Oh. Well, no, I thought of this, but it's going to get reversed, and I'm going to end up looking bad in this. But
Andrew has been with me the whole time.
I have. Yeah, yes. Mary and I worked together the whole time, and we drove together with Lyle Dean to Tom's wedding.
Oh,
remember
that
this?
Is a great story.
Oh, my gosh. And you're so funny to drive with because you're focused and you're, you know, doing your thing, but you're so chill and so relaxed, and we're talking, and I fell asleep.
Yeah, in the back seat because
she... And Mary and Lyle, right.
Shotgun!
Yeah, right. So I fall asleep, and there the whole time. I knew they were like kind of throwing things at me. They turned into these kids.
She was drooling.
And she always says I was drooling, but I don't think I was.
Was that the one up on that lake in Door
Tom
County?
Peterson, yeah, Tom Peterson,
Delvin. I remember Lyle like speeding past me on the highway.
Yeah, Lyle Dean drives like a crazy man.
Yeah. I didn't know you guys were in the car.
Well, Lyle's doing like 100 miles an hour.
Well, you couldn't see Andrea. She was drooling.
I was going to say,
it didn't seem like you were bothered by it.
No, I know.
Long Lake Lodge or Lake Lawn. What was it?
Lake Lawn Lot?
It wasn't Lake Lodge, but it was some kind of lodge.
Oh.
But I'm telling you, if you ever went a road trip, Mary and Lyle Dean, we had a great time.
We did.
Sounds like a sitcom.
Yeah.
Who are you bringing to the event?
I'm bringing all my whole family, hopefully the granddaughter, Corey.
Oh, excellent.
Hopefully.
Oh, good.
Yeah, very cool. And hopefully my mom and a couple of my brothers and sisters, maybe.
And the bingo group.
Yeah, and the whole bingo group will be coming.
Yeah.
Everyone from the home.
Hey, we could have Bill and Wendy are hosting. God. We could have them call bingo from the stage.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you,
proud
guys.
You.
And thank you for being my family all these
awesome.
Years.
That is absolutely awesome.
Now, I am going to do your traffic report.
Oh, okay. I brought you some tools.
Okay, it's sponsored, so do a good job.
Okay.
So this is like the litany I use, which is how you have to follow the roads.
This is the template that I listen to every day?
Yes. But I look at it on the computer, and you can't do that. So can you read that? Just do the inbound times right now, because outbound is important.
Hey, Miss Bossy. Okay.
Lindholm Roofing is listening.
And don't forget David Hochberg.
Is that on here? Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay, I'm ready. First, what's coming up?
Okay, Steve, first of all, two people injured trying to escape a raging building fire on the city's west side. They are going to be okay. That story more coming up at 7:30 from the WGN Radio Newsroom.
I'm Steve Cochran from Mary Vandeveld, and Eden's outbound Kennedy to Lake Cook. Who knows? I mean, we got nothing here on the special sheet.
That's because there's no delay, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, I see. So if there's nothing on here, there's no delay?
Well, no, I just didn't want to confuse you and add more stuff.
Yeah, you know me. Inbound, Lake Cook to the Kennedy, 30 minutes. 30 minutes or 30 what? Why 30 minutes, yeah?
Do I have to write that too?
Well, okay. Kennedy outbound to the Edens, 32. If you're trying to get to O'Hare, you're screwed. Milwaukee, is this the actual city of Milwaukee?
No, that's an alternate. I should have crossed those off for you.
Eisenhower outbound to Mannheim. Who cares? You should be coming to the city if you're working. At this point, 45 out to Route 53. Meanwhile, inbound an hour and 10 from 53, which means there's some clown on the inbound Eisenhower taking their sweet time while the rest of the people behind him can't get around him. Hit the pedal to the metal. Get out of the way, Grandma. People got to get to work.
Didn't really say that.
Stevenson, Lakeshore Drive to the Tri-State again. Yeah, who cares? Inbound 52 minutes, Tri-State to the Lakeshore Drive. And the Ryan inbound 25 minutes, 95th to downtown. Is that right?
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Very good.
355, a hot mess. No, 355, there's nothing on here for the rest. Is everybody else okay?
As I said, if there's no big delays.
This is much harder than it sounds.
If there's no big delays, I just didn't put one in there. And I also didn't give you any accidents, like suburban accidents.
All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm Steve Cochran for Personalized Traffic on Demand. Do not listen to me. Get the Traffic Chicago app and listen to Walk of Famer Mary Vandeveld, approved by Team Hochberg at Pearl Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. I'd like to apologize for anyone that needed an actual traffic report.
Now we know why Mary is in the Walk of Fame.
What was the number on the Kennedy again?
You're screwed.
He made it up.
Yes, you're screwed.
And all of that loveliness sponsored by LindholmRoofing.com. We thank them and we apologize.
Way harder than I thought it was. Good Lord. We're coming back in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
We got a winner. The Sox tickets. Laura is on the phone. Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. And guess what?
What?
I'm a teacher.
Happy National Appreciation Appreciation Day.
Teacher Appreciation Day.
Absolutely.
Where do you teach?
Absolutely. I teach in Chicago on the southeast side.
What school?
30 years. It's Morales Academy.
What grade level?
I have fourth grade.
Oh, those are great kids. Oh.
Yeah, they are. They are.
30 years deep and you still love kids.
Oh, yes. A couple more years and I've done my time.
Well, God bless you. That's fantastic. Thank you. Know, you. A lot of people, they if you're making hamburgers for 30 years, you probably don't want a hamburger again. But these kids, especially fourth grade.
Yeah.
Because they still love you and they love school.
Yeah, I do. It has to be a calling. Everyone's not meant to be a teacher.
No, my daughter Amy is a teacher as well. She works with kids with autism, and I couldn't be more proud of her.
Yeah, like I said, you have to be born to be a teacher.
Well, Laura, you've won the tickets.
Thank you.
You got four tickets to the Sox and the Rangers Friday night, May 18th. And we'll do it again here soon. And we're excited about these young Sox. And it's always entertaining. It may not end up in a W, but it's always entertaining. And I'm also going to throw in an app gift card to you, a bonus prize there for you because I like you. ABT.com.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Keep up the great work. Other texters coming in on Teacher Appreciation Day. Dr. Mark Antonoff at Downers South. Without him, I wouldn't have graduated. Dude had the most patience for all of us troublemakers. Thanks, man. 847. My wife, she's not only a great teacher, but an even better mom to our 1 and 2 year olds.
So sweet.
630. Don Burnett, or Burdett, I should say, was a teacher I had in 1978. Instrumental in making me feel comfortable when we moved to from California to a small town in Oklahoma. I still talk to him almost daily on Facebook. That's the cool thing. If you're lucky enough where your teachers are still around and you can stay in touch with them, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. My cousin's a teacher, and she said she's so sweet and young. And she said all the kids want to friend her on Facebook, and she always says, "Not till you graduate college."
Oh, wow!
Yeah, she makes them wait.
But thank you to all teachers on Teacher Appreciation Day. And if you got a teacher you want me to give a shout out to, I'll get to as many as I can this morning. Text line 312-981-7200. John, do you have a teacher you remember fondly?
Yes, Mrs. Connie DeLillo.
And what grade level? Or?
Well, actually, it was freshman year of college. She was phenomenal.
She was nice to you.
Yeah, great. She's still around. Lives in North Carolina now. And we keep in touch on Facebook.
Well, that's nice. That's Where'd you go cool. to college?
To graduated from McMurray, but I went to Lincoln.
Okay. And what was special about her?
Just the patience. She got me involved in theater.
She said, you can do this.
And so you weren't on stage prior to that?
No. Football, just football.
Dave, do you have a teacher that you remember from the 40s?
It wasn't the 40s, Steve.
Well, 60s. The 60s. Yes.
Mrs. Rich, my fifth grade teacher, and she just, I heard she just passed away a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, is that right?
But
wow.
She was just a lovely lady and a terrific teacher who brought, I remember, just so much energy to the classroom.
Yeah.
Which,
those are the folks,
I mean,
that
you remember it all these years later.
Yeah. All right, we'll hit the rest of the staff when we come back. And you're going to do the headlines here in a second?
I am, yes.
I do have the answer to why that goofball Don Blankenship calls Mitch McConnell Cocaine Mitch. The Chow family, Mitch McConnell's wife and the transportation secretary, own a cargo shipping company. A few years back, about 90 pounds of blow was found in one of the company's ship containers as it was about to leave Colombia. However, nobody ever alleged that the apparent smuggling operation was run by the company itself, or certainly Mitch McConnell, or the Transportation Secretary, Elaine Chao. But that's where Don Blankenship's calling him, Cocaine Mitch.
I could see that connection.
No surprise there. Jeez. No surprise there.
I mean, it aggravates me on two counts. One, that the guy from King of the Hill is having his axe stolen. And two, that I have to somehow defend Mitch McConnell. I don't like doing either. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:43, Justin Kaufman joins us. You know, when I was doing the afternoon show, I used to get preempted by baseball all the time.
Yeah.
And, I play golf or, kick back.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'd focus on the show.
You'd focus
and
on the show, get ready, and be anticipatory.
Some people might think, well, it's really mean of you, Steve, on an off day for Justin, because the White Sox play tonight, to ask Justin to come in and do the morning show. But you actually love being on the radio.
I do. I love it. Well, I love seeing you guys.
And I love being on the radio. It's just I'm lazier than you.
You have the right to be lazy if you're getting up at the crack of dawn. I don't get up until, 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
Really?
Right.
You get up that late?
I wish.
No, you got a kid you got to bring to school.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Got my schedule down. I have figured out a way when I start doing the shift, which is 7 to 11. I thought in my head, oh my gosh, I'm going to get up at 1 or 2 o'clock and I'm going to hang out until 3 in the morning. I'm going to be a nightlife guy.
It didn't work out that way.
No, I get home as quick as possible and I it's lights out and I get up at 7:30 in the morning and take care of the kids.
I was at the playground yesterday with Abigail Grace, my exceptionally perfect granddaughter. And we were talking about this earlier. Remember energy?
Yeah, I do remember energy.
Yeah, remember energy where you'd go, yeah, man, I'm going to do stuff today, and then you'd do it?
Right.
Oh, that was weird. Mm-hmm. Remember when you'd say, because we call it the 7 o'clock thing. We have a 7 o'clock rule.
Oh, this is great.
The 7 a.m. rule is, if it sounds good at 7 a.m., it's going to suck at 7 p.m.
Right.
Like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to concert, it's going to be.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, you're lucky in this job.
Right.
You get offered tickets and ends to everything. Well, they start in the middle of the night. Some of these things start as late as 8 o'clock.
Oh, my God. You told me that a few years ago, I was making plans to go to a play or something, or probably a concert, and you said, yeah, that's not going to sound so good in 12 hours. Of course it is. I'm 6:30. I'm texting Cochran like, yeah, I'm on the couch. I can't get up. I can't get off the couch to go to the play.
I'm going to see The Wizard of Oz tomorrow night, and I'm freaking out about it. I'm oh my gosh, I'm going to have to take a nap.
Oh, Mary, it's not real. It didn't really happen.
No. She's freaking out about the time, Jen.
The time. You're going to have to call in on Thursday.
She's trying to get it moved up to around noon.
Anything past 9 o'clock, or you'll have to leave it intermission.
Don't they do a Wednesday matinee?
Yeah, they do.
They go to the matinee.
They do Wednesday and Sunday matinees.
I wasn't offered the matinee.
And then you can go have dinner at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right, like all the other old people.
You paint a great picture here, guys, of what life is like in the morning.
Oh, my God. And it used to be, we used to look at people who would eat dinner at 5:30, 6. Now, if it's past 6, I don't even want to eat.
You're going to bed at 6.
Yes.
Days.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those of you listening going, wah, 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 what time's the show end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't blame you. How are you, Justin?
I'm good. I had a show last night, so I'm burning the midnight oil a little bit.
Oof. How do we
but
do
I,
it?
I realized in my office, I just posted a picture on Instagram, you cannot tell in my office because the Howls and Hoods restaurant, which is right behind us, they use my window down here as their sign. So most of the other offices have been retrofitted with cool, like really awesome shading, Blackhawk shading. You got a little Patrick Kane or something like that. But on my office, the furthest
one, you're a cheap advertisement
they sold
for a restaurant.
That window for the restaurant, and it's like an old linoleum kind of sign that just is everything about it. It's got a smell to it. So when I walked into the office, I cannot tell if it was 11 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock in the morning, and that's not good. That's not good.
By the way, that restaurant's going away too as the building.
Well, I hope
goes
they take
away.
Their sign.
They're going to give that to you for your office at the new building.
Move it to the new place.
That would work. I would take that.
It's Teacher Appreciation Day. You got a teacher that meant a lot to you?
Can I do a college teacher?
Sure.
Does that work?
Sure.
Nothing against, well, everything against my high school and elementary school teachers. But the
were you a bad student?
I was a terrible student, but that's their fault.
Obviously. It had nothing to do with your
effort. Nothing to do with me. I was a piece of clay.
How'd you get into college?
It was open enrollment at Columbia College. That's
oh, okay. That. All right, fine. So who's the college teacher?
Professor Rose Economou, who taught me investigative journalism, and she came into class and she was explaining her. It was an investigative journalism class, and she told me the story, told the class a story, how she showed an old 60 Minutes that she was on. It was like the 60s or the early 70s. She had the lapel, like the pastels.
Oh, wow.
And it was all about investigating a chemical spill in a town in Virginia, West Virginia or Virginia, I can't remember. And he kind of watching, like, oh, and then he started asking her questions afterwards because it was all about how people were getting sick from the runoff. They were getting cancer from the runoff. And her story went that she got cancer from covering the story. She
was no one kidding. Of those journalists. Just covering the story.
Covering from hanging out. She said she'd come home and there would be back to the hotel or whatever covering because she did it for a couple months and there'd just be stuff all over her clothes. She did not get, and this is the part that really like attracted me to her story, was that she didn't get the settlement because the judges were like, well, you went into it voluntarily.
Wow. Oh, that's nice. That's
she,
nice.
She ended up, she passed away in 2010 or so. From complications, she fought it her whole life. But she was an amazing, inspiring teacher, and she kept me focused, and I got into the work because of her.
Well, see, this is interesting to me, because how come we haven't heard of reporters getting sick from working the pile at 9/11?
Point. I wouldn't be surprised if that comes out. And,
right?
And there's a lot of stories like that. There's a couple that move to the top that, you know, movies are made out of. The idea
but you had
the
Conqueror. You had reporters that were on that site every day.
Oh, yeah.
Breathing all
every day.
Yep, just like the first responders.
Yeah, and the first responders law, which is finally reinforced by no small
and
part
then the
by
question
John Stewart,
will be,
is helping the EMTs still.
Yeah, but that's the question. The first responders will be covered by that law, and there will be all sorts of benefits, as rightly should be, for anyone who has any health issues. But the question will be, once again, are they extended the same because they voluntarily went in to cover that? They weren't first responders.
That's why I'm very happy. The legislation in Springfield now that they're talking about, so body armor, nobody can have body armor. Except, and they should pass this, except police, first responders, law enforcement, and they're considering adding an amendment of journalists, too, because we're out and about covering all these stories.
For war-torn areas,
for those certain neighborhoods.
A couple of teachers being called out. Professor Theodore Darden, College of DuPage, inspired this working single mom to keep pursuing my education and reminded me that my voice mattered. And I'd appreciate it if you said something about Sister Mary Natalie Burney.
Okay.
So there's a couple more.
Good.
Keep hitting them. We do a thing on this show, Justin, called You Must Pick One. I have three stories I have not yet previewed. I'm just going to give you headlines. You guys have to pick the story I'll do.
All right.
All right. Those headlines coming up. One involves Warren Buffett. One involves a goat.
Ooh.
Those two stories are not linked as far as we know.
Sweating. That's so close.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I got a new girl.
224 text from my favorite teacher was John, it's either Gepolo or Gepolo from Dundee High School in 1983. Really cared about students. And happy Teachers Appreciation Day to my daughter Kristen and daughter-in-law Rachel. Both are amazing high school teachers.
Awesome.
And happy Appreciation Day to you if you teach. Dean will be with us after 8 o'clock. Justin Kaufman's here now.
Does it count that I've taught improv?
Nope. No.
Bummer, because I need some appreciation
for that chapter
of my life.
All right, you must pick one. I'll give you three headlines. You tell me which of these stories to do. Oh, we're going to play the match game later, by the way.
Yes.
Three headlines. You tell me which story to do. I haven't read any of these stories. Okay. Do you want to hear about Warren Buffett's iPhone?
Yes.
Do you want to hear about people trying to stop lava?
Yes.
You got to pick one.
Or do you want to hear about goat yoga?
Yes. Oof.
Goat yoga. Goat Warren yoga. Buffett's iPhone.
Stopping lava.
People stopping lava.
Stopping lava.
Lava's your vote? Yeah. Lava?
Because you can't
sounds,
stop lava.
Sounds like a B-52 song. Stopping lava.
That's good. Yeah.
Lava?
That is. That's good.
Is all voting lava?
No. I would vote for the melted. Goat.
You go goat yoga?
So I gotta go
that's
goat.
Old.
Steve, goat yoga?
No, lava. Lava, lava, lava.
I'm very impressed by all of you taking the science route. I would have gone goat yoga. Yeah,
I'm going yoga.
Me too.
All right.
Could we do both?
Well, it depends on the time, but first let's go to this. People are trying to stop the lava flow. This amazing story on the Big Island in Hawaii is just unbelievable if you've seen any of the video
at
all.
Yeah, it's terrible.
These fissures open up and lava, flaming molten rock, shoots out of the ground hundreds of feet in the air. Mm-hmm. And these lava flows end up going where gravity takes them. And generally, that can be downhill into this Leilani Estates, where most of these fissures have blown up. But people have tried to stop lava. The most famous example, according to the story, in 1973, when the Eldfell volcano exploded in a small island in Iceland. You've been to Iceland?
Yep, love Iceland.
Did you see a volcano? Super cool. Lava flow?
There was, it wasn't a volcano, but there are still craters, mm-hmm. and then they sometimes explode water, not lava.
In the event I just spoke of, huge pumps were used to spray the advancing lava flow with seawater, the idea being that this would cool the flow, creating an instant rock wall that would then stop the lava behind it. Huh. The problem is the superheated rock behind it burned through the wall and kept going.
Wow.
But they did learn from that.
Anyone who watches superhero movies knows that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. That's a property of
Is there
Marvel.
A lava man?
Is there a lava man?
Hmm. I don't think there is a lava man.
But there's a lot of guys who do fire, right?
They have figured out a way to redirect lava flows.
There's
the
lava
problem
girl.
Is in some of these cases where they create different paths for the lava to take, those paths have taken them into different areas and different homes and run those homes over. In one case, people tried to use bombs to divert a lava flow.
Yeah.
That, in fact, sprayed the lava around wherever the explosion from the bomb went.
Think about that, though. How would you create a path? Because wouldn't the lava melt through anything that you tried to create?
I'd dug a trench.
Yeah, although wouldn't it burn through that, too?
But it would go down.
Yeah, you'd have a big hole in the ground with lava in it.
I could see
that. Can you imagine being the people? Can you imagine? Get out in front of the lava and start digging trenches.
Well, it's like curling, right? They need the guy who's doing the thing
in front of the sweeper, sweeping
the lava in certain ways.
Hard! you regret your choice now?
No.
The lava flow story?
What I don't understand about that story, and what blows my mind, is that three words, end of days. Like if you think about how the world's going to end, you think fissures and lava popping up out of the streets. Instead, we're like, and in another story today.
Yeah, right.
It's lava. Like, I'm like that right away. I'm like, I got to get my lava. Disaster kit ready. Where's my duct tape?
Yeah. I want to know what the hell was going on. What's that?
Those fissures just pop up out of nowhere with no warning.
Yeah, that's like right out of science fiction.
No, I want to know what went on in Leilani Estates because God is angry.
Something happened.
Yeah. Warren Buffett's iPhone. And goat
runner
yoga. Where the runners up. We'll see if we get to them later.
All right, good.
Yeah, okay.
Goat yoga.
Coming up on 8 o'clock, Dean will join us here in a little bit. Justin Kaufman, guest disc jockey.
That's right.
Sitting in. And Phil Collins is in Dean's entertainment news. So we'll get to that coming up. Teachers, you want to say hi to Karen McDowell and Jim Walker from Westmont High. 770 Texter says, they saved my life. 708, Mr. O'Rourke gave me a love of reading. And 630, Mr. Rich Wiley at Downers Grove South made math fun, and today I can count, and I'm a grown-up.
Ah.
It's 8 o'clock. News next, 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you...
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I... Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Dean Richards over at Channel 9. That's where he works most of the time when he's not on the show here in a segment aptly named Moron Entertainment.
Hello.
That's right. Moron Entertainment.
Justin, you hear me?
Justin Kaufman's our guest disc jockey today, Dean.
Guest moron.
Say hi to Justin Kaufman. Dude.
Welcome to the Moron Show.
I love it.
John DeCosta is here. Say hi to John.
John, good morning.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Andrea is here. Say hi to Andrea.
Andrea, good morning. Kalimera.
Kalimera. Kalimera.
Okay,
what am I saying?
Down. Settle down. Mary Vandeveld's on the seventh floor. Say hi to her, Dean.
Mary, good morning. On the seventh floor.
What about Steve Grzanich? You got a problem with him?
I love Steve Grzanich.
Dean, too.
Yeah.
And that's our time.
Yeah. Super Joe.
Super Joe Romano.
His birthday was yesterday.
Day after his birthday. Good morning to Super Joe.
What about Samber? You're leaving her out.
So I was just about to say the glue that holds this all together is Mary Sandberg.
How about all the people walking by in the street?
Them. Don't care about them.
All right, just checking. Yeah,
don't care about them. Security guard Jim, who's out at the front desk.
Yep. Jim's doing some fine work.
The people in the not overpriced tea store at next door at all.
Skip those guys.
Cash only.
Do we know?
Oh, no, that's right. No cash.
Do we have a tea store in our new location or any beverage options over there?
Based on the speedy service, there's a lot of talk about these guys coming over. They once tried to gift wrap four muffins. I thought I was going to be there until Christmas.
The tea store coming with us when we move?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That one. Phil Collins in the news. What did they wear at the Met Gala? You know, Dean, we were talking about this.
This is going to be good for radio.
Yes, we always do radio fashion segments. We were talking about this earlier, though. Andrea has a just adorable new jacket on. What color would you call it? Peach?
I thought it was pink when I ordered it, but now I'm being told it's more of like a salmon.
What
or
did
a
you
peach
pay
color.
For that?
Salmon.
Oh, here's the thing. Twice today. Peach. First in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then here in the studio. Mm-hmm. You were complimented on the jacket.
Yep.
And the only thing you said immediately after was, I got such a deal.
I got it.
That's
on
because
sale.
She was talking to me. So when you talk to girls, you got to tell them.
No, this happened down in the parking lot.
John's not a girl.
Yeah.
I complimented her in the parking lot.
Yeah, and I said, I got it on sale. For $20.
So why is the reflexive response from women? Here's what I paid for.
I don't know. I think because we don't want to take a compliment sometimes.
It's like here's how little I paid for it.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just women. I would say that I do that with guys. If there's some sort of technological thing that you get.
No,
feel a little bit weird about that you have a huge TV that you're like
your shirt. Like
I have literally.
I would agree with that.
I have never in my life said, guess what I paid for it? Never. Not one time.
I am totally the guy that's like, and the best thing is there's a crack on the side, so I got this TV for $200 less.
We may have to check your card.
That is true, because we compliment you on your wind shirts and your polo shirts, and you never say.
No. Oh, well, why wouldn't you? My fashion line is taking off like hotcakes.
Yes. Like hotcakes?
Hotcakes.
That's what I say, hotcakes.
Yes, they're also taking off.
Thank you, Lisa Douglas.
So, Dean, I don't know why.
A couple of us getting the hotcake joke.
Oh, I got that one, Dean. That was good.
I don't know why women have that reflexive response.
Beautiful dress. Yeah, it was 39 cents at the secondhand
because
store.
Because we're jealous Costco. Of your clever shopping. That's what it is.
Interesting.
But I'll tell you where
there's just way too much going on in your head as a female.
I think it is, though, that we don't want to take a compliment. Or we feel weird being complimented. I don't know.
So, like, if somebody went up to the Met Gala last night and Katy Perry's outfit and she was wearing the giant wings, does Katy Perry go, oh, thanks, I got it for $57,000.
No, they say, I got it for free. Someone put this on my back, so you would ask me questions.
Somebody went up to Sarah Jessica Parker and said, oh, I love the nativity scene that you're wearing on your head.
He's not kidding. She wore a hat like a nativity scene.
It was a nativity scene.
That's bizarre.
I'm guessing she went to somebody's house in Berwyn who still has it out from Christmas.
Uh-huh. And just slapped it on her head?
Put it right on her head and got right to New York.
Was the baby Jesus missing or there?
No, the baby Jesus was part of it because the theme for
the theme
for the Met Gala, the Metropolitan Museum of Art's gala last night, was art and Catholicism.
Oh, see what she did there?
So she...
was in Berwyn?
Where she stole the nativity scene.
So much for the separation of church and art.
I don't know why I picked Berwyn.
I just think it's funny. I could have picked any place. I picked Berwyn. But that was good.
There were some hot couples that were there. Scarlett Johansson showed up with her Weekend Update boyfriend.
Colin Jost.
He doesn't matter.
They both look very nice. And you know what, Steve? He got his tuxedo 30% off.
Yeah, I bet he did. Yeah. Armani Outlet Store.
You had to get it back by midnight. They had to leave the gala early. But it's not about the boys. It's about the girls and what they wore last night. So more on that coming up. Phil Collins, as I said, some Avengers stuff, some Cosby stuff. You know what the number one business in America right now is? Taking back awards rescinding, you gave to Bill Cosby. Yeah,
rescinding stuff you once gave Bill Cosby.
And how many James Beard Awards in Chicago?
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
You know, Dean, we have a James Beard Award winner in studio with us.
Who's that?
Two-time.
Justin Kaufman. Two-time James Beard Award winner with who?
Nominated five times. And one.
So you're a three-time loser.
So I'm a three-time loser, two-time winner, though, Steve.
Yeah, sure.
The glass is half, well, not half, two-thirds full.
Glass is full. The glass is two-fifths full, 40% yeah. full.
Is that a James Beard-like journalism?
I won for editing. I was mixed and edited Steve Dolinsky for years at NPR.
You did Steve Dolinsky's mixtape.
I did.
That's fantastic.
Steve Dolinsky was on the red carpet.
Yeah, I saw the Instagram photos of him.
So where are your James Beard medallions?
I have a great story about that. Both of them are hanging up thanks to my wife and my family. They put them in a nice little thing on the wall.
Box frame?
But when I first got them, I was 21 years old, 22 years old, late 90s, 20 years ago, mm-hmm. actually this week. Mm-hmm. And the
late
one that
90s.
I got,
he was
late
21.
90s, 22, 23, mm-hmm. and I was dating a culinary student at the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, and I didn't even know it was that big of a deal, so I had the medallion kind of in the drawer of my desk. And she pulled it out and she's like, "What's this?" I'm like, "Oh, it's this thing. It's a James Beard Award." And she totally flipped out and she's like, "Can I take this and show people at school?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I don't care. Whatever, babe. Yeah, have fun, babe."
Yeah. Hey, babe, take it. Hey.
So in a classic story, you know what happens here.
It took
about a week to break up. And I'm like, I need that. I need my CD back. I need my Ben Folds 5 CD. I need my James Beard Award. And she came back and there was barbecue sauce all over the ribbon of it. And she's like, "Yeah, I took it to class and they got sauce on it." And I'm like, this is classic. So then,
how do you clean a ribbon?
I met my wife.
More authentic that way.
Yeah, I met my wife not long after. And she's like, "What are you doing? What kind of life are you living?" And then she surprised me for her Christmas or her birthday. And she framed it. And she took the barbecue side. And it was on the other side. So she hid it.
You can't dry clean a ribbon, I suppose, right?
You can't dry clean a ribbon.
Somebody could get barbecue sauce out of a ribbon.
But yeah. Start that new business, John.
Yeah. I'm writing it down.
Right, I would wear mine all the time like Flava Flav.
Yeah, like a big clock. Yep. Sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. So the James Beard Awards last night, Dean,
what
did we get?
You know what? We only got one Chicago award last night. We went into the night with all kinds of awards. Four nominations for the Boca Group that run some of the best restaurants in town. And they came out empty-handed. We had chefs and restaurants nominated all over the board last night. It was only Abe Conlon from Fat Rice Restaurant, Steve, in the Logan Square neighborhood. Mm-hmm. They serve sort of like South Asian cuisine. He won Best Chef Great Lakes Region.
And then the thing there is they were all Chicago nominations.
Your theory is because the awards are based here, the judges are taking it out on us.
I think so. I think that Chicago's been a rock star city for the last couple of years, and I think that there's pushback from the coast, especially New York City, to be like, the restaurants here are better.
Right.
So I think we get the shaft.
East side, west side!
Yep. Bon Appetit magazine would disagree with that they called Chicago the best culinary city in America.
Yeah, so why are we not winning anything?
Cosby Award still being ripped from his clutches.
Kennedy Center yesterday not only took back their Kennedy Center honor, which they gave him in 1998, but they also took back their Mark Twain Award that they gave him about 10 years ago. And they said that these awards are given for career achievement, but the criminal charges for which he has now been convicted, are overshadowing career achievement. So they took back their two awards. Last week he got kicked out of the Motion Picture Academy, and Yale University also rescinded their honorary degree that they gave him.
Seems appropriate.
Oh my God. Yale said it was the first time in its 300-year history.
Yeah. Yeah. First time for the Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
Also, but on the bright side, if you go to any resale shop, you could probably find any of those awards now for like a quarter.
They're all barbecue sauce drenched.
Full of barbecue sauce.
Dean showing off the Met Gala dresses and costumes and stuff all over this morning on TV.
My favorite of all the outfits, costumes. costumes, fashions, I don't know what you call them exactly. Sarah Jessica Parker shows up in this extremely ornate dress, but on her head, a headpiece that is a nativity scene.
No, you can't make it up.
It's a nativity scene. They're just like the rest of us.
And Phil Collins coming to town?
October 22nd this year. It's his first concert in 12 years. If you're a Citibank holder, tickets are going to go on sale on Friday. Otherwise, general ticket sales are 1 week from today, studio.
Now we're taking you out with a little bit of that.
Hey.
I know you got to go back and do your TV thing.
I still don't understand what this song means, but I love it.
What do you mean you don't understand? You were a disc jockey. I was a disc jockey. It's about his girlfriend, Studio. He couldn't remember her last name. Her first, right till the end.
First, middle, and last name, Studio.
See, I hit the post and you stepped all over.
Here on WG.
Yeah, hitting the posts on the big 7-2.
Unbelievable. I can't believe as a fellow disc jockey, you stepped on my post. I'm shocked by your behavior.
Okay,
all right, buddy. That's Dean going to do his TV situation. Just the same. 8:29 now. Remember our slogan, much more talk, much less music. And at 8:20 now, we're back with the news next on 720 WGN. Am I the only one that thinks Bing sucks? Oh, is that out loud? This Bing search engine that's been around now for like 5, 10 years, however long it's been.
Why do you use Bing? And that's
well, because
Google
it defaults to Bing on these computers. But I'd be curious if any of the listeners actually use Bing. Or as I prefer to call it, suckier than Google.
You can change that on your computer so that it goes to Google.
So, no, I'm just kind of amazed, right? I mean, I love Microsoft. Microsoft products. Bing's a Microsoft thing. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. You know, like Bing. Like, if you searched, whatever, donut shops on Bing, it would go see Google. And that's all. I mean, they don't have anything.
Not good.
Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All right, 8:42, standing by to say hi to a new partner of the program. And they're bringing in chocolate, so even if they didn't, spend money on the radio station, they'd probably get in. Happy Teachers Appreciation Day to my daughter Kristen and daughter-in-law Rachel. You haven't thanked a teacher yet.
I haven't.
Do you have any?
I do. I have a lot. But I think the principal at my grade school, St. Joe's, she was the principal the whole time I was there, Mrs. Jean Petkus, she passed away. She was amazing. Also, the woman, Mrs. Creedon, she was the woman that worked in the office that did everything for you at a Catholic school.
Right.
She recently passed away. But anyone who went to St. Joe's knows that Mrs. Creedon was the bomb.
That's the cool thing about you guys that grew up here, unlike you and I, Dave, is that this means a lot to have these teachers hear their names.
Oh, they still listen.
Or people hear their names.
Or they listen.
You had another one you wanted to throw in.
Yeah, I have a couple. Mrs. Bibzak and Mrs. Suter and Mrs. Mokel and Mrs. Magnuson and Mrs. Noteboom and Mrs. Nelson still listen and came in for a tour about a year ago.
Do you have a sense that there were no teachers Andrea didn't like?
I know. Oh, no, she feels guilty, and so she's going to name every teacher she has.
You know, because I know they are going to be like, oh, we heard you say Mrs. Magnuson, but not. They're fans of WGN and Steve Cochran.
I'm that age where I too am friends with Facebook with some of my grade school and high school teachers. Yeah. So it's
cool. We're going to do a teacher non-appreciation day where you can call and tell us about the teachers you didn't like, but it's not today.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I could never be a teacher, though, just so
you know, it's amazing.
I could not
the
do it.
The patience is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
6-3-0, I'd like to send out an application. Well, how about an appreciation to my, it's funny what spell check will do to a boy. To my wife, Victoria, second grade teacher in East Aurora for 12 years and a 13-year wedding anniversary today. I love you.
Oh,
isn't that nice?
Second graders. Can you imagine 20 of those children?
And look at this guy.
Sometimes 30.
He recognizes their work and the anniversary all in one text.
That's cool.
Killing it.
Yeah.
T24, Mrs. Bank at Meadow View Grade School in Grays Lake, Illinois. Currently the best second grade teacher ever, according to the latest rankings. She is loved by all. 847, thank you, Carol Q, English teacher at Alvernia High School. Best teacher ever.
Yeah.
This is all part of Teacher Appreciation Day. 847, Mark O-N-U-S Check. Onus Check? It's got to be Onus Check,
so,
right?
Yeah,
it's Mark Onus Check. Mark Onus Check was my high school English teacher. He had higher expectations and challenged me more than all of my English classes that followed combined.
Mm-hmm.
708 teacher Mark Gowans made high school history fun. Best teacher I ever had, 630. My favorite teacher was Lewis Prett, P-R-E-T-T-E, from Gordon Tech. He believed in me and gave me confidence to be a better student and a love for reading. Earned my first A ever. That's from Joe. And Mr. Voss at Liberty High School, just plain awesome. So there's a few more on Teacher Appreciation Day.
I had a consumer ed teacher in high school at Carmel and Mundelein, Mr. Andy Bitto. And I did something really stupid in the class. I drew a picture of me and my friends drinking, which is not really...
Oh, look at you, Rebel.
I know.
It's pre-Facebook.
He took it from me, and I could have gotten in a lot of trouble, but he just basically said that I was better than that. And that was almost scarier than had I been punished, you know, because I...
Yeah, you know what? You reminded me of one, too. I had a teacher like that, a Mr. Trumbull. You didn't have him, I'm guessing. Mr. Trumbull, because he was in upstate New York. It would have been weird if somebody got him. But Mr. Trumbull taught science. And we had those, you know, pretty standard black lab tables, you know, with a Bunsen burner hookup and all that stuff that you would use. And I got busted cheating.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I knew the answers were, I knew a particular test that was coming. And I wrote in pencil on the black table what the answers were for this particular test.
Okay.
I don't remember how I got the intel that this test was coming down.
Yeah.
But I had written out all the answers. So when the test was handed out, because they were started at the front, just passed the papers back.
Yeah.
I knew I'd be good to go. Now, I was on the golf team. So it was the last period of the day, and the golf clubs were kept at the back of the room because you go straight out to golf practice.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking the test, and he was a golfer, so he came back and started fiddling with my clubs. And the closer he got, the more I leaned over, like the lab table, and tried to get my shoulders spread so, you know, so he couldn't see me. Keep in mind, I wrote in pencil. I leaned back, and on my forearms, all the way up and down. Couldn't see the answers, and I was busted.
And you got lead poisoning.
And, and he took me aside and said, you're too smart for this. Don't
right.
be an idiot.
Don't do it.
Yeah, so he could have busted me and caused all sorts
of problems. Yeah, that was
cool. That was
cool.
He was a good guy.
Because you probably could have gotten kicked off the golf team, right?
Yep, good guy. Good guy. I haven't cheated on anything since, as far as all of you know.
As far as we know. It's always cool, too, when you see your teachers again, because I've had lunch with some of
you're
my teachers.
You're talking about that, the weird thing, when you run into them in the grocery store and you don't know whether to call them
still,
Bob or Mr. Whoever.
Right, like Mrs. Magnuson, and they always say, call me Gail, call me Joyce. It just, and then I see, okay, all right, sounds good, Joyce. Later, Mrs. Bibzak.
Right.
Good to see you. It's still hard to say the, don't
it
you
is.
Find that too?
Oh, absolutely.
To say the first names?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And there are a few of my teachers who are still alive.
I'm guessing
not so much.
I mean, that the one I mentioned earlier, she just died a few weeks ago.
She was the last one?
I can't imagine any of my teachers from, certainly not from grade school.
Yeah, they do get older. Yeah. Thank you, teachers everywhere, on Teacher Appreciation Day. We're going to come back and meet the fine folks from Kohler Chocolates in just a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The executive producer, Sandberg, is out of her lair. And you want to explain your connection to Kohler Chocolates?
I'm a big fan of Kohler Chocolates.
You guys actually road trip to get these, right?
We do, yeah.
And who is your
friend? I'm a fan of golf and Kohler Chocolates.
Sure.
So the fact that I can get them both in Kohler, Wisconsin, worked out great for me.
Black Wolf Run, one of my favorite golf courses anywhere.
That's where you said when you were playing, you commented, boy, these bathrooms sure are nice. And they're like,
genius.
Well, we're
genius,
kind of
Yeah, ninth hole, I told the guy, the ranger, how nice his bathrooms were. He pointed at the Kohler sign on the hill. Yeah, we do that here. Yeah. Introduce our new friend here.
So Laura Schultzer, is that how it?
Schutzler.
Schutzler.
It's a good German Wisconsin name.
There
you do
you
well.
Go. And, she's a sales manager at Kohler Original.
How'd you get into candy business?
Oh, you know what? I've been in food and food ingredients for many years, and one of my customers used to be with like Market Up and Kohler. I would have paid to work at Kohler because I love that resort so much. So, yeah, just some great relationships. And
are you a chocolate nut yourself?
You know, I do like exquisite chocolate. These are actually pieces of art. I like to say it follows a fashion runway line.
Oh, look at you.
Uh-huh.
This is the Met Gala of chocolates right here. And look at how they're dressed up. And I don't know how you could work at a chocolate company and not weigh 900 pounds. I would be over. I'd be dead by the weekend.
Well, it's portion control always.
Okay,
always.
So you say.
I think sometimes, though, when things are so high-end and good, like a little goes a long way. You know, you're able to just enjoy, indulge once, and then take a break.
Not in my case. all right, so we're going to do a little tasting here, but tell everybody what the website is and where they can get Kohler chocolates.
The easiest way to get Kohler chocolates is to go to www.kohlerchocolates.com.
There you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
KOHLER.
And they have a lot of Mother's Day specials right now.
So get it all over.
Yeah, 15% off of the luxury basket and the garden basket. I think you can get shipping still by Mother's Day.
But get on it today.
Get on it today. Tomorrow we can still get it to you by Mother's Day. And there are some glorious photos so you can see our whole line. And I'm so sorry you out there cannot taste our product.
Well, we'll do it for them.
And we will do that. And we will tempt your palates.
All right, what do you want to start with?
Let's start with the buttery terrapin. This is our signature piece and our trademark item.
Look at you. This is like the Daytona 500.
Andrea and we already ate our terrapin before the tasting. So
okay, now what's in this?
I was literally going to take one bite, and I thought I'll just like have a sample.
Is this the terrapin?
That's the terrapin.
That is the terrapin.
It's like a turtle.
It's a walnut on top.
This would be our version of a turtle.
Well, that's it. Terrapin. Turtle.
This would be your classic, if you will, turtle. And we call it a terrapin. That is our trademark piece. So this is a milk chocolate with pecans throughout. Beautiful pecan on the top.
Yeah.
Tell me about that caramel.
It's tremendous.
The caramel's awesome because it's super thick. Normally, if you know, it kind of stretches out. But
it doesn't break your teeth.
It's like a cake.
Yeah. So this, did you see how dark that caramel is? It is smoky. It is hand-cooked, small batches.
Yours looks good, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Dark,
dark
buttery.
Could you guys describe the chocolate butter?
There's a lot of butter in that product.
It's like phone sex for Steve talking about chocolate.
You know, I'm not normally a candy guy, but this is really, really good.
And by the way, kids, this is great to do radio. Please start mouth-watering with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bite number two.
Great. That's one of my favorite comments. I'm not normally a candy eater, but this one took me over the top. So let's stay with something kind of in that savory line and go to this little gold piece right here. This is our butterscotch hop.
Okay.
So
this looks like a toy or a ring or something.
It looks like a Monopoly marker.
This is beautiful. This is sprayed gold. I mean, it's sparkly. It's beautiful. Again, I'm telling you, it's a piece of art, right?
Yeah, how hard are these to make?
Bite into it. You're going
to
die.
Take a bite. And I like to say, take a bite.
Right.
Notice right? You get that crisp bite. That's
no
a
more calls. We have a winner.
Shell. Yeah, there you go.
What flavor is that?
This is butterscotch. It's a milk chocolate shell.
Oh.
A really creative butterscotch interior.
Easy.
Does that make you think of grandma's house with that little bowl on the side, that glass bowl that was always there?
Mm-hmm. Now through May 11th, if you buy a 9-piece rare facet, you get 4 of the butterscotch hops free.
Wow, look at you.
Mm-hmm.
When do you start with Kohler?
you can give a gift and give yourself a gift.
I'm part of their chocolate team.
Apparently so.
We should keep you on our tasting panel with new products.
I would love that.
Sure. I know you're saying just take a...
This is very exciting day for me right now.
Yeah.
I know you said...
I gotta tell you. Have you ever seen her that excited about anything?
Oh, my God.
No, I thought the Bounty paper towels was exciting.
I know. That
exciting.
Was pretty good. This is...
No, this is...
She has never in 2 years on this show expressed that kind of excitement about anything.
So get her this. Keep her happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, chocolate makes you smile.
I know you're saying take a bite, but if we eat the whole thing, is that okay?
You can pop it like an M&M, but you're just going to need a second one then. If you've never had these pieces of art before, I'd love for you to take a bite and just you hear that crisp of the shell, and then you get to see the interior. It's just a beautiful process when you're tasting something this high-end.
Talking with Laura Schutzler, sales manager at Kohler.
Kohler Original Chocolates.
Kohler Original Recipe Chocolates and Brandy. How about that?
Yeah.
Dave's a big brandy guy.
Bring me hooch. Dave's a lush.
Yeah, I brought the brandy, but I don't think we're going to taste that one.
No, that's okay.
He's got to be sober for another hour.
These guys are just imagining things.
All right, number three.
Great. Let's go to this next dark piece. This is our hazelnut coffee garden ganache. So what a great point. Well, that just said it all.
The hazelnut coffee garden ganache.
Mm-hmm.
That was my name when I danced.
Okay, here we go. So this interior is going to be very creamy versus the silky side that you just had. Just a really light hazelnut coffee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't like coffee. That's great. God.
It's a great morning.
It's a light coffee taste, I'd say.
You can have chocolates for breakfast, lunch, and a dinner treat.
Well, it's got your major food groups in here.
It does. Mm-hmm. Butter, milk, protein.
I think that's on the pyramid, the Kohler Original
Chocolate.
Serious
question, because this is for Mary's future employment here, but do you have to, so the tasters, they keep tasting until they perfect it? Until they say, well, you know, we need to add more hazelnut. We need to add more of this. More.
Yeah. I mean, we go through an R&D process when we're creating new pieces. You know, we have a chocolatier that really has a developed palate. So That you could be our taster.
There you go, Mary.
I'm perfect because I'm direct and give honest feedback, so I'd be happy to say if something wasn't cutting it. So,
and we love the consumer to let us know, you know, what they like. And actually, Herb Kohler is really involved in this little company still. You know, he started this. He's a chocolate lover, and he has an exquisite palate.
How about
so he
that?
Most certainly gives us the
how about that
the, that stamp of approval for every piece.
I think you should do one more. Great one.
One
well,
more.
Let's, yeah. Let's do this beautiful red one. So for Mother's Day, the shiny, looks like a gem. Mm. Does it look like a ruby to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know what it looks like? The Louvre in Paris, France.
Oh,
it's that dome.
I love that.
Talk
reference.
About an artistic piece.
Okay.
So take a bite.
That's the sour cherry. Very
tell me
facet.
What you taste.
Wow, yeah. That's great.
Oh, yeah.
Is
yeah,
that
I'm
a
not
pop?
A sour cherry guy. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we actually use a sour cherry juice. So
that's from Wisconsin,
perfect.
I think, right?
It is.
Sour
correct.
Cherry juice.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, Wisconsin, Door County.
Door County.
All the cherries
yeah.
we're harvesting up
sure.
there. So
sure.
we like to source local when we can, you know, butters.
And this bright and yellow
flavors.
Guy, as we go to
that
break?
Is pineapple. So a pineapple mm. flavor infused with that chocolate
that'll
ganache
work.
Interior.
That'll work. Chocolate ganache. You're a chocolate ganache.
So pineapple.
Hey, Steve,
awesome.
Just one last thing before we say goodbye to Laura. If you visit the WGN Radio's Facebook page for your chance to win a 6-month membership to the Kohler's Chocolate of the Month Club.
Uh-huh.
So if you go to our Facebook
wow.
page, you
nicely
make a comment.
Done by you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah
so.
Well done.
They're
all right, awesome. We're very happy that your partner's with us, and we're going to sell a lot of chocolates together.
Thank you for having us. We're very yeah. excited.
Website again.
KohlerChocolates.com.
KohlerChocolates.com. Mm-hmm. Can you see my impression of Sandberg?
Yeah. That's fantastic!
Hi, everybody. It's CLTV. Yeah, and Steve, we've saved some chocolates for you down here on the first one.
I was hoping so because I think with the listeners, I just sheer torture listening to this.
It's kind of
sheer
a torture.
Me too,
a
me too.
Yeah. Of some. Course.
Yeah, Steve will take them all before I get them.
Yeah,
I'll share, I promise.
Beat them to the elevator.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And thanks, everybody, at Kohler Chocolates. Back in a moment on 720 WGN.
The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be. The Steve Cochran Show.
Cochran Show. 9:15, John Acosta is here. John had knee replacement surgery when?
March 5th.
And part of the deal with knee replacement surgery is rehab. Rehab's really a crucial part of it. So we were talking about a couple of segment ideas on the show, and John brought this up. I thought it was a good idea. Why not bring his therapist in to have him talk about what you go through with this process, because there's people who have the surgery that don't do the post-op, and they get themselves into trouble.
No question.
So what did you know before we meet this individual? What did you know about what you were getting yourself into?
That's part of the problem that I wanted to do this was that everybody told me horror stories. Oh, you're going to hate your doctor and you're going to hate the therapist and so you go in scared. And I not one day have I gone in where I haven't left feeling better. And it's tremendous.
When you went in scared, apprehensive about what?
Well, you know, you don't. Who wants to hurt? Mm-hmm. Who wants to be hurt?
Yeah, but that's why you had the knee surgery.
Correct. But you're like, wow, I got to bend it. I don't know. They have never pushed me to the point where it's hurt that bad. It's
so,
always been good.
As you know, I'm supposed to get both of my knees done sometime in the relatively near future. And do you have a post-operative lack of confidence out of the gate in how much weight can I put on it?
Oh, no question about it. Yeah, no question about it. But it ends pretty fast because I think in the hospital I did one or two steps, and I'm like, oh. You know, and you have this visual like, oh, it's something that's bad's going to happen.
Right.
And within a day, I was like, I can walk on this. This is actually pretty good.
Christopher Carlson's a physical therapist, PT, clinic director at ATI. Which ATI office are you with?
I'm in the Bensonville clinic.
And did you know you were dealing with John when he came in?
I did not know about John.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, I'm told he's a really good patient.
No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
No, he does everything.
Well, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, have a good day. No, he does really good. He does great job.
Is there anything in particular that was unique about his case, his knee, his recovery?
No, you know what? I was talking to him earlier, and everything was pretty much textbook as far as what we were seeing here. I hate to use the word textbook because nobody's textbook, but there weren't that many surprises. The biggest thing is, I think, your incision with the
right.
The top part of it still healing.
Wouldn't heal, yeah.
And then, yeah, you had a little setback with the stint in the hospital, but
right.
that was unrelated to that. So
that's true.
Yeah, so the recovery of his knee
is fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
For someone his age, because you know he's older than I am, is the challenge greater?
Yeah, sometimes it depends on a lot of things. It depends on medical history. It depends on the patient's willingness.
Well, that's where I'm going with this. How big a deal is cooperation?
Huge, huge. It's kind of like bringing a horse to water. You know, I bring him there, but if you don't,
you can't make him drink.
If you don't do what we're asking you to do, it's going to get harder for you.
And I think the crucial point that needs to be made is you hurt a lot, which is why you got the knee replaced.
Yeah,
it's going to hurt a little bit to break down the scar tissue and get through the therapy, but that's the way you feel better.
Right. So yeah, after like a knee replacement, a lot of times you're able to walk on it that day. That in the hospital, a therapist will get you up that day, and people are scared to put weight on it. You know, they got this huge incision that's, you know, bleeding and draining, and they're like, oh my god, I gotta walk on it. But after they take a couple steps, they soon realize it's okay. And you know, as that tissue heals, you only have a certain amount of time to bend the scar, to get the scar mobile.
That, and you know, explain that, because it has to, like, right away in the hospital I even tell this story where I couldn't do therapy the afternoon because I got dizzy. So I got up at 3 a.m. to work my leg so that I could be ready for therapy in the morning.
You didn't want to miss the window?
I didn't want to miss the window.
Well, it's a big window.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So, I mean, you got...
It's bigger than I thought it was. Yeah.
You've got a while. It's, you know, while the scar is healing, it's usually red. And once it starts to turn color, you know, more toward your skin tone color, that's when you know that scar is kind of becoming more solidified, which is not a bad thing. It's just, it's healing. But you don't want it to scar down, because it can go down to the bone and... Once it goes down the bone, then you're getting more and more stuck.
That's a natural reaction, though. Like, you were dizzy, you were scared. People, as you said, Chris, people are scared to put pressure on it. Mm-hmm. Can you hurt it? I mean, you know best. You know, if you tell John start walking on it, he'll be okay. But can you?
Well, hurt the procedure? And this is something I told him the first day. I mean, it's going to hurt, but I'm not here to injure you. Okay. Nothing that we do is going to injure you. When you walk on it, that prosthetic device inside that knee is designed to take the weight. So as the bone heals around it, yes, there's still healing time that needs to be done, and the bone kind of needs to grow around that prosthesis a little bit, but it should be stable. It should be able to take weight. So you can hurt anything
right.
if you do something, you know.
You know, and shout out to Don Isaacson, who is phenomenal.
Yeah, Don's my partner there.
And I work with both of them. And Don told me, like after the first week, that you can't overdo this. We want you to work it out.
Right.
You know, don't worry about taking a walk or doing. And it is interesting because I don't even think about it now.
Yeah, as long as you're safe. I mean, you can always overdo
Correct.
Things,
yeah.
but like, you know, as long as you're going in your tolerance and you're staying within
Gymnastics.
No skydiving
first. Punting,
yeah.
But it's interesting because I thought it would be more a lot of bending, which it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's balance. You will sit for 8 minutes. You will stand for 8 minutes. You balance side to side. You balance forward, backward. Mm-hmm. There's stretching. There were things that I'm like, oh, I didn't know this was part of it.
Well, that's why you're going to a professional, you know? And you're not doing it online.
That's a good point.
Is yoga a good idea?
I tell people if you were doing yoga before and that's something you want to get back to, that'd be
the
goal.
So this isn't like I had surgery, I never played the violin, can I play it now?
Right, yeah.
It's that old Mark
badly, you might be able to play it badly.
Right.
But also talk about how you evaluate, because you know, I've seen other people there at therapy that maybe can't do as much as I can,
mm-hmm.
but they don't push them. So you, it's case by case. It really
right.
is. Everybody's
case. Different. So you could have two surgeries by the same doctor, same day, same surgery, and have two completely different outcomes. It's just sometimes that's just it, like I said, it depends on so much. So like someone comes in, if they're screaming at me, they're already at 10 out of 10 pain. To me, my personal philosophy is, why make that worse?
Sure.
For the first day? Yeah. You're not going to want to come back. You're going to hate me. Okay. and we're not going to get anywhere. You're not going to trust me because I, you know, made you feel bad.
Right.
So
so your job when you get them is to assess how they're doing between the years.
First day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the like, emotional piece.
Everything. Like, yeah, it's a huge emotional recovery is a huge part of it. And they don't, you know, that's not talked about a lot. A lot of things focus on a lot of things focus on the physical, but there's a whole, you know, if someone needs to talk for half an hour about something completely unrelated, but they're sitting there crying to me, I'm going to talk. Let's talk.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. It's we'll get stuff done as we get it done.
Yeah, physical therapist and amateur therapist are probably a big part of the job. Yeah. Amateur as in emotional therapist.
Yeah. 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 You know, and like
psychiatrist.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We wear a lot of different hats. You know, if someone comes in and they like just lost a parent or a loved one or something like that, and they're trying to recover from a surgery, it's going to be that much harder, and sometimes people just need an ear.
So compassion's a
big
deal.
Oh, yeah, it goes a long way.
You know, the week I spent in the hospital, mm-hmm. you know, I was doing so well before that. I come out of the hospital, and I was like, oh, man, I got a little nervous. Like, I don't think I can do what I did right before.
Felt like you were starting over.
I did. I did. And the first day, I had Chris, and the second day, I had Don Isaacson. So it's like they both... like, okay, here's what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, we know how hard to push.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah. You know, and it so it worked out really well. It worked out
By the way,
really
John
well.
Gets nothing for this other than pain.
Right.
We just thought sharing
but
sharing his story might help other people.
And I really do. Don't be afraid. Just don't be afraid. And we've talked about this. I'm sure that there are good therapists and bad therapists.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So that comes with the... But don't be apprehensive before you even go in.
There's good comedians and bad comedians, too.
Yeah, we know those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've met all those guys.
Boy, oh boy.
Christopher Carlson, physical therapist clinic director for ATI. Where again?
In Bensenville, Illinois.
And how many ATRs are there? About 1,000 now?
I mean, ATI, yeah. We're in 25 states, I believe.
Wow.
700 clinics across the nation. I want to say something 250 in Illinois alone.
ATIPT.com is the website.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Leave us with this. The one thing you should be thinking about coming to therapy the first time.
Try and just do your best. That's all I ask of patients is to just work with me. I know it's going to hurt.
So drop the expectations.
Yeah, there's a lot of unrealistic expectations the first day. So
just listen to your therapist.
Listen to your therapist and just try as hard as you can.
Sounds like a breeze. I don't know why you were crying.
I'm scared. Steve.
There are cases, you know, everybody's different, so it can be harder, but yeah.
Yeah, no, he's getting around amazingly well.
No, thank you. He's doing good.
Nice job, doctor.
Thank you.
Well done by you. 925. Again, that's ATI and Christopher Carlson. We'll come back. We have an exclusive interview with John's knee scheduled for next week.
All right.
That's
going to
be great. Cool. We'll be back. 720 WGN and CLTV. Teacher Appreciation Day. Got tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of text today. Go through a few more of these here. 773, Mrs. Megan Spreadbury of St. Mary of the Angels in Bucktown. Amazing, dedicated teacher and athletic director. 708, my dad, Mark Gowans, great high school teacher at Riverside Brookfield. 217, Mr. Castro Giovanni, my fifth grade teacher, Castro Giovanni, at Robert Healy Elementary School in Bridgeport, all the way back to 1959 and 1960.
Very cool.
630, Dale Bauer, Addison Trail High School. Great guy, loved by all of his students. Believed in me, encouraged me like few others. 309, one of the best teachers ever, the late Mr. Roy Muchna, or Mukna, M-U-C-H-N-A.
Muchna.
Mukna. Head of counseling at Lyons Township High School. The counseling thing is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I told you, Mr. Head. Great name for a guy from the 60s and 70s. Mr. Head, without him, I wouldn't have gotten through high school. Great guy.
Mm-hmm.
847, best teacher ever, Mr. O'Brien from Oakview, McCracken, and Skokie. He's still teaching and a friend 55 years later.
Wow, that's cool.
312, thank you to the Templeman teachers at Lansing Christian, preschool and first grade. Both are awesome. 630, my dad, or I'm sorry, 708, my dad, Albert Smurs, was the best teacher, principal, and father. Greatest guy I ever knew. 630, Elizabeth Claggett, inspired me to journal. It's been a lifelong skill. A15 Gloria Harper, Mrs. Dudlicek, Henry Cooper, and Mr. Bird, all from Curie High School, 76 to 80, believed in me and set me on the right path. That's from Judy. Mike Kennedy, an awesome AP physics teacher at Neuqua Valley out in Naperville. 708, Mrs. Alice O'Brien from St. Kiernan in Chicago Heights. Not enough space to tell you how wonderful she was. A friend and I took her to lunch over 20 years past graduating eighth grade.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
847, Chris Bazansky, sixth grade teacher at Palatine. 773, shout out to my granddaughter Veronica, third generation teacher.
How cool is that? How nice.
312, thank you to all teachers, especially my wife Carrie and my daughter Ella. Thanks, Miss Hughes. This is 847. Thanks, Miss Hughes, Miss Rust, and Miss Heilma. And then I love this one. 6 year old, shout out to my mom, Joan Treeland, still teaching in her own practice in Wheaton. She's 88 and a half.
Wow. That's
she said fantastic. I'm entitled to that one half, by the way.
Yeah, better believe it.
She's now teaching kids of her former kids.
Yeah,
that I'm guessing must be probably kids, grandkids of her former kids.
Do you know when I was in eighth grade, I wasn't in her class, but there was a history teacher in my junior high school who had taught my dad.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
That's got to be super cool for teachers.
I would think.
Teach the generations, yeah.
Especially if like your dad was nothing but trouble.
Right.
Right?
I don't think so.
9:33, back with the headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle.
Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Yee-haw! Pretty good, huh?
Pretty good, yes, indeed. Good morning.
Orion Samuelson with us, and Justin Kaufman's here as well.
Hey, Orion. How are you?
Hello, Justin. Good to talk to you. Good to talk to you.
John DeCoss is here.
Dave. John? Yeah. He's the mystery man. I've tried to reach him a couple of times, and he doesn't want to talk to me, I guess.
Why don't you get back to Orion, you big jerk?
I have never liked Orion.
And it's very obvious.
I apologize. I don't know.
That's not just outrageous. Just outrageous.
Well, email me with a correct phone number. Yeah. Maybe
I will do that. Yes, it will happen today, Orion. So sorry. Okay. Please forgive me.
All right, stand by, everybody. Got a little breaking news.
We do, Steve. The U.S. Attorney's Office has just confirmed at least one person has been arrested and is appearing in court this morning in connection with that shooting of the ATF agent that occurred last Friday. There had been a several-day-long manhunt looking for this particular suspect.
That agent was shot in the head and
yes.
Still expected to recover
still
fully.
Still expected to be okay, still hospitalized. Again, so this suspect will be in court in about an hour and a half. That's what we know for now. We'll continue to follow this throughout the day.
That is good news. What is new with you, Orion Samuelson?
Well, let's talk about planting progress because we got the latest weekly numbers last night, and the numbers coming in a little better than expected. 39% of the corn acreage planted by Sunday night. Analysts were expecting about 37%. Five-year average is 44%, but it's proof once again because Illinois farmers planted a lot of corn last week, and it proves again with the equipment we have, we can get it in the ground pretty quickly. Soybean planting also strong, now 15% of the acres planted. That's over the 13% five-year average and also a percentage point above trade expectations. But winter wheat remains a problem. Only 34% of the crop, which is out of the ground, of course, reported to be good to excellent. And there's a meeting coming up in Washington today going beyond the Iran oil deal. But President Trump expected to lay out his plans for the nation's biofuel policy. It'll be a closed-door briefing with senators after months of hearing arguments about the hotly contested regulation. The meeting could bring to an end a tumultuous several months of talks between big corn and big oil over the future of the U.S. RFA, the Renewable Fuel Standard.
What do the corn farmers want?
Well, corn farmers, of course, want to continue with the renewable fuel standard, and part of that did dictate to the oil refineries that they would have to invest a little money in order to blend the biofuel with gasoline, and Well, it caused the bankruptcy of an oil refinery in Philadelphia. And so attending the meeting today will be Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst of Iowa, sure, the number one corn state. But then on the other side, they'll have Republican Senators Ted Cruz of Texas and Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania. And they have big oil refining companies.
So is oil saying ethanol is hurting us at the gas pumps, or are they just saying it's too expensive to produce?
They're saying it's hurting them because of the standard that was established back in the George W. Bush presidency that required the blending of ethanol with gasoline, and oil refineries, who haven't been making any money at all for the last two decades, of course, if you listen to them, that this is too expensive, and it caused the bankruptcy of a small oil refinery in Pennsylvania. So,
is the president likely to take oil's side?
I think he will. He did issue some fairly strong statements for biofuels in his campaign, but you never know what he'll be doing with it. So we'll be watching any results from that meeting. And we're less than a month away from June Dairy Month, and I'm already getting a list of dairy farms that'll be holding June Dairy Month breakfast on the farm.
You don't eat breakfast at home once in June. You just go farm to farm.
Just go farm to farm, because you know, they serve it all, and besides that, they can take me back to my childhood and remind me what milking cows every morning and every night was like.
Justin, do you ever milk a cow?
I have milked a cow, but it was in field trips from my elementary school.
You ever do it on a one-legged stool?
I have not done it on a one-legged stool.
One-legged stool. I've milked a cow on a one-legged stool. It's like a Cirque du Soleil trick.
You and O need to have a cow milking contest, because I was at the Museum of Science and Industry, and there's this whole wing now about dairy farms and tractors, and there's a cow milking
It'd be like me taking on Hank Aaron. Orion Samuelson milking contest? Come on.
You'll get a participation ribbon.
Plus, if the cows see Orion, they'll just give it up.
Oh.
Well, I'm the three-time Illinois State Fair cow milking champion.
No big deal.
And one of the more famous milking contests I participated in was with Bob Collins and I think Billy Williams at Wrigley Field before a Cub game years ago.
That's hilarious.
I won.
Not everybody can say that.
No kidding. All right, now Justin is here. I don't know how much exposure Justin had to all things agriculture, so let me see if I can test him here, Orion, if you can tell me.
Well,
if he
I do know I
about.
Do know milk days in Harvard.
Okay,
I grew
milk
up right
days
outside
in Harvard.
Well, no,
days
that's a big deal.
In milk. In Harvard.
Well,
all right. Winter wheat. What is winter wheat, Justin?
It's wheat that is planted in the winter. What's up, DeCoste? Give me a high five on that.
Talk about
Big O.
Planted in the fall before winter, but it lies dormant in the soil over winter, and then when it warms up and spring arrives, they don't have to go through the planting progress because it's already in the ground and it comes up. And we harvest it in Texas and then moving northward to Canada in June and July. So it's
I just gave a short answer.
Almost verbatim. Almost verbatim.
Exactly what I said.
What is the significance of pork bellies?
The significance of pork bellies? What do you mean by why we?
What are they? What are they, and why do they matter?
They matter because it is an indicator of.
You need a one word answer here. There's a one word answer
of hog farms. No
bacon. Yes.
Bacon.
Right. Pork bellies.
Okay.
Bacon.
I get that.
Bacon prices, bacon supply.
I thought it had more to do with the health or the status of
No. No, it's not like pork bellies have an upset stomach. It's where we get the bacon from, right, O?
Right, and the pork bellies, you'll find them on restaurant menus all over the country now because...
I'm a James Beard Award winner. I know that.
But there's no longer a frozen pork belly contract traded.
Right.
Because the reason that we had it was because... Bacon demand would go down sharply in the wintertime, so we couldn't use as many bellies as were produced, so we put them into frozen storage and then traded on the future price when we got to the
sea. So that's not happening anymore?
I got to tell you.
Not happening anymore. At that time, we would say, well, when the bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich season starts, which was spring, then things will get better. But now... You look at a restaurant menu and you'll find bacon on 90% of the items.
And by the way, 90% is low.
The demand, yeah, you're right, I think so. But the demand is no longer seasonal, just like turkey. We used to only eat turkey from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Now it's year-round, so that's a change in consumer taste and consumer buying.
Steve, can I ask one?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Orion, we were driving through Indiana this weekend, east of Indianapolis, and we came upon two fields. They looked as if they were solid, yellow, almost flower-like crops, and they were very low to the ground.
Opium.
Yeah, you know, and my dad even drove by later. I had him look at it, and he can't figure it out either. You know what that could be?
It could have been mustard plants, but I don't know many people who raise mustard. We try to kill that because it's a weed in a cornfield. But if it was bright yellow, or it could have been a great crop of dandelions, because we're getting a crop of dandelions.
Well, you would know dandelions, Steve.
Yeah, no, this was organized, in fact.
Organized, planted, bright yellow.
He almost wondered if it was something for dandelion wine, because it is kind of what it looked like.
Interesting.
I'll have to check. Max is our Indiana specialist. I'll check with him.
Those Hoosiers, you got to watch them every minute.
I'm more Missouri guy, so you can understand why I didn't get the reference on that.
Either that or you don't know what you're talking about. It's Big O. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Have a good week.
All the best. We get a few more of these teachers in before we're done. We're not going to have time to play Match Game. I want to apologize to all the kids in the network.
Didn't matter to me. That's hysterical.
In a moment on 720 WGN. Let me say hi to a couple more of these teachers before we get Bill and Wendy in here. Joe, you got a teacher you want to mention?
Yeah, I really struggled at Naperville North as a freshman. So I had a few teachers my sophomore and junior year. Keds, Platt, Stano, Mitchell, and Mrs. Canty all helped me out, so I really appreciate
that. They now all have a law firm.
Yeah. Sounds like members of the football team.
These are guys from SWAT.
No, those are teachers.
Really? Teachers?
630, my favorite teacher is my wife, Angie Bader, art teacher for Naperville School District 224. All the teachers at Paddock Elementary in Palatine. My kindergarten teacher from 1955, Miss Angel, and yes, she was. Aww. Says an 847-815. One of the finest high school teachers is Kelly Taylor. She's my daughter. 815, two teachers, Lockport physics teacher Ivan Kimball, and a journalism professor Bob Marsink at Joliet Junior College. Great sense of humor, great teachers. 312, thank you to all the teachers at St. Paul Lutheran School in Mount Prospect. 630, happy Teacher's Day to my niece, Kristen, and the teachers at North Shore Learning Center. My daughter, Katie, a.k.a. Miss S, very creative phys ed teacher. Your dad's proud of you. Sister Mary Natalie, who left, and she was kind of annoyed at the system in eighth grade. Her given name is Bernadette. This guy's trying to find her. So if you had a sister, Mary Natalie, this guy would like to know where she is. Call us. We'll try to hook you back up with this 847 texter. And then 224, Mr. Drobny taught American history. Opened my eyes to how fascinating it is at Carl Schurz High School. Another teacher at Schurz, the biology teacher, Mr. Mogul.
Oh.
And all of those folks.
My cousin taught at Schurz for many years. And she's now at North Grand, Michelle Levis.
And she did a nice job.
Yes, she did.
Those are Happy the students, Teacher's
those,
Day.
Those are the students who wanted to Facebook her, and she said not till you graduate.
There you go.
Oh, I found Sister Natalie, Steve. She's in Pioneer Court. She's right there. She's waving.
That's not nice. Somebody's really looking for her.
I found her.
Bill and Wendy are next. What are you guys doing?
We've got Jesus in the studio.
Oh.
From Jesus Christ Superstar at the Lyric Opera. I will sing to him. I will be his Mary Magdalene.
We would have let him do a phoner, but he's everywhere, so.
Again, I'm going to turn it over to you and Jesus next.